place of birth was Irvine.
Irvine.
As long as it's no Jack fucking Irving.
Yeah, certainly not. I was needing some outtakes as well, so thought I'd deliberately fuck it up somewhere. Right, so we'll move on now and we will cover the dreaded boardroom and we'll go into the blue room.
The dreaded boardroom into the blue room.
Well, start that one again.
Oh, Derek, you're going to have to slow this for a second because I'm getting myself all confused here. Right, hold on.
Well, actually, I've got one more wee bit here. Is obviously with the news of Fernando Rixon's.
Sorry, mate.
Did you just pump?
I was doing a big Andrew there.
We've had the first fart on the podcast.
Absolutely reeking to, man. Oh my god. That's bad when you can't stand your own farts, eh? What? Sorry, here we go.
Just as well it is the smell podcast or something.
Oh, it's reeking, man. Oh, dear, right, on you go.
We do this over Skype, by the way, so I don't need to smell this, so this is great.
We do this over shite, did you say?
Aye, well, you might do that. You better check your pants.
This is professionalism at its best, eh?
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you listen to this. This is the pre-season podcast of the iReady podcast. We're back, we haven't disappeared from all your ears just now. We're back for the pre-season. We obviously had a wee break there with the end of the season. People getting married like myself, we were on stag do's, we were on holidays, we were on this and that. But as ever, I'm your host Derek and Dave, my co-host alongside.
Yes, Derek, and how's married life treating you?
The exact same as what it was before.
I don't believe a word you're saying. You can't bullshit a bullshitter.
That the thumb patch isn't quite for me.
Oh yeah, that'll be there. It'll be exactly the same as mine. It'll become more and more apparent every single year it goes past.
Yes, I'm sure, but it's been good so far. And you've been on a stag do yourself as
yes,
well, Dave?
Yes, I was away over to Hamburg for my mate's stag do. I'll tell you about that later on because I met a guy who was a part of the Hamburg Rangers Supporters Club when I was over there, but we'll talk about that nearer the end of the pod anyway.
Yes. So we've got a good few things to cover here. We've obviously missed a couple of months worth of stuff and I've tried to put it in some sort of logical order here, so we'll try and get through it anyway and we'll see what happens. So we're just going to batter on as always. There's no really a game to cover. Funnily enough, there was a game tonight. We'll kind of briefly cover that in a minute, but anyway, we'll just go right into the news.
Good evening. I'm Will McAvoy. Will McAvoy. I'm Will McAvoy. Good evening. I'm Will McAvoy. This is Newsnight. From New York City, I'm Will McAvoy.
Right, so we'll really kind of start at the beginning as best we can. Obviously, we're into the championship now, so that's the SPFL Championship season 2014-2015. Alongside us are some interesting names. We've got Alloa, Cowdenbeath, Dumbarton, Falkirk, Hearts, Hibs, Livingston, Queen of the South, Raith Rovers. How do you think that lineup is?
There's probably a more exciting league than any of the other leagues in Scotland put together, to be fair. I mean, if you're going to compare that league to the Premier League, what's going to be your top game in the Premier League next season? The Dundee Derby or maybe Celtic v Aberdeen? Whereas, you know, you've got, you know, Rangers against Hearts, you know, at Tynecastle, which is going to be a huge game, or when we go Easter Road as well, it's going to be an absolutely massive game. I certainly know the games that vast majority of supporters are going to want to watch, and it's certainly not going to be the Dundee Derby. So, no, I think it's going to be fantastic, and I'm rather upbeat. And we're going to talk about some of the players that we've brought in, but I don't know about you, Derek, but I'm getting quite excited about it already.
Yeah. absolutely. I mean, I think with the last couple of years, it's been, you know, part-time teams where this is the first real test that's going to be, and I can't wait to get the team and see what they're like up against proper opposition. You know, obviously Hearts were the big team that were coming down, and obviously the big surprise was Hibs. I was in Barbados and I seen the game. They were winning Hibs were winning 2-0 against it was Hamilton, and from the first leg, and then they you know got a last minute goal against them to make it 2-2 in the second leg, and it obviously went to penalties in Barbados, watching the Twitter feed, and it was just incredible. And I got a hail of texts from my dad, from Scott, from a few other fans as well, so it was a really strange experience. So it's going to be tough, I think, but it's going to be a good challenge for us, and it'll maybe prove our mettle and allow the players to come on a wee bit more than what they showed at the end of last year.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, but as I say, we'll talk about the players that we've brought in, but I would like to think that with the size of the squad that we've got and the experience that we've got, that we do have enough firepower now to still see us go through, because Hearts and Hibs have lost a hell of a lot of players. I mean, I don't think Hibs have actually got a signed goalkeeper at the moment. A guy that we work with is a big Hibs fan, and he was speaking to me about it the other day, and he's got no aspirations whatsoever for the league next season, because they've just lost so many players. So I don't know if that's a wee bit of reverse psychology in his part before we play them. I don't know, because we've drawn them in the Challenge Cup as well, so we'll wait and see. But no, I think it's going to be excellent next year. I'm really looking forward to it, as you say, a lot more tough games, a lot more exciting games, hopefully. And I just, you know, I'm well up for it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we drew Hibs in the Challenge Cup, which has now been renamed for something really stupid, the Petrofac Training Cup. You know, the Ramsden's Cup was actually quite a decent name, the Petrofac Training Cup.
See, I don't know. I think the Ramsden's Cup made it sound really cheap and nasty, to be perfectly honest with you, but I don't know. That makes it sound like some, you know, Malaysian third division cup or something like that that we're going to be playing in. But okay, we'll wait and see. Here's hoping we're actually going and win it this time, because this potentially, hopefully, is going to be the last time that we're ever going to be in it. So I hope that they go out and actually try and bust a gut to win it.
Well, that's it. You say that. I mean, you've got Hearts, Hibs, Rangers, potentially Falkirk as well, and Raith Rovers, all kind of going to be vying for the kind of top spot. So, you know, at least two of the teams are not going to make it through,
yeah.
And which is the thing. So, you know, it might not be a foregone conclusion we're going to win this league or even get to a playoff position. It's going to be difficult, but we've got the first game anyway on the 9th of August at home, and it's against Hearts of all teams.
Yeah, no, I'm actually going to miss it. I'm going to be in Tenerife at that point. Surprise, surprise, I'm going to be in Tenerife.
Another holiday.
Tenerife. I'm going to be in Tenerife for the first two matches. I believe it's Hearts at home and Falkirk away. And the Falkirk away one's a right killer, considering that I only live 5 minutes away from the Falkirk Stadium. And I could have got the tickets for that, no bother. So that's going to be a bit of a pisser for me, missing that one.
Hearts pumping shite for you.
Yeah, no, do it. But I'll just have to go along to my favourite pub in Tenerife, the Bluebell, and watch the two games in there, and hopefully we get 6 points for the first two games. I'd certainly like to hope so anyway.
I mean, we've got a few pre-season friendlies before we get to that. We've obviously just played Bucky Thistle away tonight, and we obviously won 3-0. I'm not going to go on too much about the performance, because at the end of the day, especially the first few pre-season friendlies, they're just about, you know, finding your feet, getting the fitness up and getting match fitness.
Yeah.
As well. So,
was there any standouts, Terry? Because I know you sat and watched that. Is there anybody you were quite impressed with? Any of the new players? I had a quick look at the starting 11. I don't think there was any of the new signings playing in the starting 11. Was it just Kenny Miller that came on in the second half? Was that about it?
We played a lot of youngsters in the first. I mean, we lined up Bell, Forey, Jig, Gaspar, Otto, Smith, Hutton, Gallagher, Murdoch, Law, Mackay and Clark. Now, certainly Mackay in the first half was standout, because he was wanting to drive the ball forward, but it was one of the usual things. We dominated the game, and we never really kind of had a lot of chances with it. However, obviously in the 32nd minute, Gallagher scored, continued on his wee run for the end of last year when he was getting the game, and he scored a good goal from a good Smith cross, and he scored a great goal 2 minutes later, actually. It was a fantastic 1-2 play from Clark and Mackay. Mackay played a great ball to Gallagher on the right of the box, and he had a first-time shot past the keeper. Fantastic build-up play. Into the second half, it was pretty much a changed team. You had young keeper Gallagher in. We had Foster, McGregor, Jig, Wallace, Mackay, Law, Black, Murdoch, Shields and Miller. Mackay and Murdoch went off about 10 minutes later and Halkett and Aird came on. We never actually scored the third goal until the 82nd minute, where Miller, it was a good wee bit of play from Foster and Shields to knock on the ball to Miller. Miller running in, rounded the keeper and hit it in goal from an angle. So decent all round, can't argue about it. So as I said, it's all about kind of getting your match sharpness back in the early stages.
Yeah, it's good that young Gallagher's kept going from where he left off last season, because he did look, you know, a real potentially quality young player when he came in last season. So I'm pleased that he's still in there and getting a couple of goals as well. And I believe we've got a game. Is it Brora Rangers, or is it Brora Rangers, or just Brora?
Yeah, it's Brora Rangers. We've got them on Sunday. So that's another game on RTV. After that, we've got Ventura County Fusion.
Who the hell are they?
And then we've got Sacramento Republic. I think we might be going back over to America to play them.
Really?
Because I think they're American teams.
What was the first team?
Ventura County Fusion.
The Americans come up with some names, eh? Oh. Big time.
Then we've got Sacramento Republic. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Victoria Highlanders and Ottawa Fury. Oh, so right. I think we are having a wee mini tour. I can't remember what we're doing, to be honest, but certainly there are no teams around this area.
Oh, well, that's fine. Well, I kept up with the score the night for Rangers' official Twitter feed, just to keep up with the score. But I know you sat and watched it on RTV. Are you going to be watching the next match, or is the World Cup going to be too much a lure?
I can't remember what time the World Cup game's on it, so...
It might be 9 o'clock, right enough, so you might just miss about half an hour or something like that.
Maybe. Well, I mean, I'll probably watch the game, because the game's on at 3 o'clock for Brewer Rangers.
Oh, is it 3 o'clock? All right, okay. Oh, well, that's fine. I thought it was an evening kickoff. Well, that's all right then.
Well, obviously, the big kind of pre-season friendly we've got this year is on Saturday the 2nd of August. It's against Derby County, down in Derby. So that'll bring a big crowd about.
Oh, aye. Without a shadow of a doubt, there'll be quite a few thousand bears will go down for that one, because we always travel well down in England as well. So that's... there'll be quite a few tickets sold for that one, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, you were talking about players in and out then. Who we got then?
Right, well, we have said... I mean, there's obviously we've got Kenny Miller. Now, I know you had a bit of a rant when that happened, Derek. You weren't very happy. You put your rant on Twitter. I am trying to be as positive about it. And I'll tell you what I think at the moment. I think that Kenny Miller has been bought... basically to get us back into the Premier League. I think that's the only reason that he's been brought in. He was playing international football for Scotland 6 months ago, so he still showed that he's still, a class act, he's still sharp. We've not brought him in for the long term. He is basically just there to make sure that we get into the Premier League. And that was before Boyd came, and I thought, oh well, Miller... I reckon he'll score quite a few goals for us next season. I don't know. I'm sure he was coming in as a sort of player coach. Derek, did you hear that as well? So I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if what badges he's got or anything like that. So I'm not too sure.
I don't know if he's going to come in and he'll actually be really good for the younger players, with the likes say Clark and Gallagher and Aird and all that. All the guys that are up front. If he's going to be quite a good mentor for them as well, but. He's been brought in basically to get us into Premier League. We've also signed the central defender from St Mirren, and his name has eluded me at the moment.
Darren McGregor.
And I'll be honest with you, Derek, I know absolutely nothing about this guy at all. I know that apparently he had quite a bad injury at one point, but he played the whole of last season for St Mirren, and he was supposed to be quite impressive. Apart from that, I know absolutely nothing about the guy.
He's apparently had two cruciate injuries in the last few years, but as you said, he's played all of last year injury free, which is good. And from all accounts, like yourself, I don't know much about him, but from what the kind of more informed people know, as they say, he's a decent, decent young player. I mean, he's 28, so he's no young, but certainly he's in his prime now, effectively. A cheap option at the end of the day. He's no your Bocanegras or anything like that, but we're not going to be signing your Bocanegras anymore. So we've got to kind of deal with what we've got, get the best of young Scottish players we can, and we'll see how he does. Yeah. You know, we can't judge him on the basis of what we've not heard about him. So.
Exactly. And of course the star signing, which I am absolutely delighted about. I know, again, I've had a few Twitter rants with a few other Rangers fans that are not as enamoured, but the fact that we've signed Chris Boyd again, which I think is going to be a fantastic signing for us, I was absolutely delighted that we signed him. He was, you know, a top goal scorer in the Premier League last season. You know, he's certainly not lost it. He's came back and proved that he's still, you know, a fantastic goal scorer. When he was playing for Kilmarnock, who struggled last year, and they still managed to bang the goals in for him. Absolutely chuffed to bits that he's back playing for us. I was really pleased because there was all the talk that, you know, Kilmarnock were desperate still to keep him. Aberdeen held talks with him. Dundee United were in there. And I don't know about you, Derek, but any other team in Scotland, if they'd have signed Chris Boyd, it would have been heralded as one of the best signings, you know, in the last decade for them. But he signs for Rangers, and there's no much said about it in the media, and, you know, there's no a lot of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no lot of hype, you know, because he's signed for us. And I mean, I actually know some Celtic fans that said at the end of last season, before the Celtic signed Lee Griffiths, that if there had been any chance Chris Boyd coming to Celtic, then they would have signed him for Celtic. So that says it all in my book. I just think he's going to be absolutely brilliant for us. I think he's a better player than he was when he left us. And I think he knows himself that when he left Rangers, he should maybe have stayed at that point. So he's maybe getting his second chance here. I don't know what your feelings are on it, Derek. There's a lot of Rangers fans out there that know that weren't happy because they see him as being, you know, he's getting older now and all of that. But at the same time, he's 30, he'll be 31 in a couple of months' time. But I still reckon we've got 3 or 4 quality years of Chris Boyd playing in the team. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm delighted about it. I mean, I can understand where some people are coming from because it can be seen as a backward step because he's, you know, 30. I mean, 30 is, you know, not an old age. As you said, he's got a good few years left in him yet, especially in the Scottish leagues, you know. And as I said, I can understand for the fact that we should be bleeding in more of the youngsters and we should be trying to sign more of the youngsters. However, this is kind of endemic of our lack of a scouting system in our team just now, both for looking externally outside the club and looking internally at our own players we've got. So I think we've got a, you know, he's a great buy. We know what he can do. He is going to score a lot of goals, undoubtedly, for both when we get back up to the top league and in this league. I'm just absolutely over the moon about it, and I would have been annoyed if we had signed Miller and not signed Boyd.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, going by, we were finding it difficult the second part of last season to score any goals. I think that Miller will be a great player for us next season, and I think Boyd will just absolutely rattle the goals in for us. I'm really pleased about Boyd. As I say, I've touched on it with Miller. He's there for next season to get us back in the Premier League. After that, I honestly don't know if he's just going to go on, you know, if he'd be a coach or stuff like that. We'll just have to wait and see. But a brilliant signing by Boyd. And according to quite a few papers as well, we are still trying to sign more players for next season. I don't know what players that you've heard about, Derek, but certainly I've heard about Cowie being the main one, and also one of your ex-players who went down south, a guy called Scott Allen. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I've heard that one. I think his trial at another club's just ended, I think. So I think there's going to be some sort of movement there, potentially, but I can't remember much about him, to be honest.
No, I mean, he was signed, he went down to West Brom, but fell out of favour there, and I think he went on trial at Birmingham in the Championship, but apparently played really well for Birmingham, and there's a lot of people were surprised that he wasn't picked up, you know, by one of these clubs, but supposedly a quote that he made that he said that he would try his best to get back to Rangers one way or another, so I don't know if this is maybe his chance to come back. Don Cowie, who we can remember playing up in Scotland, I certainly know he's got some shot on him. He used to score some absolute thunderbolts of goals against us when he was playing up here, but I don't know what you think about Don Cowie. Quite a similar player, I think, to Nicky Law. in certain ways, but he's certainly got an eye for goal. But I don't know if that one, apparently there's going to be quite a few clubs interested in him, so I don't know how close we're going to be signing him or not.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know much about him myself, to be honest, so it's one of these things that we'll just need to wait and see. As you said, you know, he's certainly, you know, reports are good, but we'll just need to wait and see.
And what about Marius Zaliukas?
Yes, I would be quite chuffed with that, because at the end of the day, he's 30, he's a decent player, and he's in a good position as a defender, isn't he? So somebody to play alongside, you know, Mojny or Jig.
I was reading again today, this is all speculation, it's on Twitter and stuff like that, but apparently somebody's quashed the rumour that we're actually buying him, and that he's basically just training with us again to get his fitness up. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if we would allow something like that, you know, a player just to come in and train with us to get his fitness up so that he could potentially be snapped up by another club. I don't know.
Well, I'll stop you right there. Who's just signed for that other team?
I know, exactly. But to be fair to him, he came out, Craig Gordon, and praised how professional that Rangers were and how fantastic all our physios and backroom staff at Rangers and that were, and he thanked them all for helping him get back to full fitness and stuff like that. So I suppose we can see that. We did try to sign Zaliukas before, but he went down south to, I think it was Leeds United, but quickly fell out of favour down there, so I don't know what kind of shape the guy's in, or if he would be a good addition or not. Certainly when he was on trial with us before, I was quite eager for us to sign him, because I thought he'd be a good player, but we'll just have to wait and see in that one as well.
And you see, we've got another former Hearts defender on trial as well, Ismail Boozy.
Yeah, that's a bit of a strange one as well. I don't know if Ali's just, you know, just having a look at all the options that he's got there, players that he's got. I wouldn't like to think the likes of Boozy would be a lot of money, wages. But again,
well, he's on a free again, obviously. Uh-huh. He's on trial, and he's 30 year old. So, you know, he obviously comes from Hearts, and he's a former Kelly player as well. But I don't know.
I don't know much about him, Derek. Is he a central defender, or is he going to be a
central defender?
I was going to say, is he going to be another one of your long list of right backs?
Aye, most likely.
Aye.
I mean, we've got a few other players here. In terms of, you know, in terms of speculation, well, just before that, we've got Kyle Hutton did sign for another year with us as well. So he seems to knuckle down a wee bit last year, which is, well, I think we've touched on in previous pods. He's not got his, you know, Darren Cole beside him. So,
Another strange one for me. He's not shown enough in the last few seasons, you know, to be, you know, to get another contract. And maybe, as you say, he's doing things in training that we don't know about and stuff like that. But I don't know if he merited another year or no, Derek. I don't know what your feelings are on that.
As long as he wasn't on a big contract, which I don't know. You know, he's certainly a squad player. He's not a standout player like your McLeods or anything like that, but certainly he shows a wee bit of potential. Just he needs to knuckle down a wee bit.
He showed potential a few years ago, and then, you know, sort of slipped away. He was one of the guys. I mean, I think we talked about it last season and the season before. He was a player that we really thought would have came out and shine, you know, Sean, for us playing in the lower leagues, which just not happened at all.
As you said, talking about speculation, Chris Burke, his contract's not been renewed by Birmingham, so he's a free agent. Certainly would love for him to come back, actually. He certainly showed a lot of promise down there as well.
I've not heard this. Has he been linked with us as well?
He's not, but this is just a player that he's been released. And another player that's been released, and his name has kind of come up on occasion, as David Goodbelly. He was released by Blackburn, so there was obvious speculation there.
Yeah, I've got a feeling he would be on quite a substantial wage, you know, every month coming from Blackburn, so I don't know if they would maybe take the risk. I wouldn't think that they would, with the fact that we've now got Boyd and Miller up front. I don't think that I think that's one that we wouldn't be going for. I think there'll be maybe a Championship club will go in for him, because I think he played quite well for Blackpool when he was on loan there at the end of last season, so I don't know if that would be an option, but I can't see that one coming off.
No, neither that. I think that his chance was the first time we tried to sign him, and I think Specky Thompson totally blew David Gowley's career with that one. I think he would have been a major star with Rangers, and obviously, you know, he chose otherwise because he got priced out of the market.
Definitely.
Here's one that's like, I hate to use this expression on this guy, but he's like a bad smell that'll never go away. Nacho Novo's been released by Carlisle United. So no doubt there'll be speculation about him getting linked back to us.
Aye, hopefully just as an after-dinner speaker or something like that. I mean, we all love Nacho, and he's a player that we absolutely adore. You know, when he used to play with us, and we've spoke about him in our classic matches and all that, but no, he had that chance. Remember when we were playing in the second division, and he came in and he trained with us, and Ali decided not to bother with him, so... No, I can't see that one happening. I don't know if he's going to just hang his boots up or no. I'm not sure.
Just going into the players that have kind of been released or let go. Andy Little, he was released, but sad to see him go because he was a decent player. Just never got played in attack too often.
Aye.
And when he did play in attack, he was bloody good and he scored the goals.
Aye, I know. I was quite surprised about that one, as you say. Ali kept playing him in the, you know, wide right when we were all screaming for him to play as a striker. You know, he scored quite a few goals for us when we were in the Premier League. He scored a load of goals for us when we were in the second division. Hardly got played last season. But quite a good move for him. You know, it'll certainly be at least matching the wages we're on. And Preston are a big club. I mean, I know they're not at the heights that they were, you know, a few seasons ago, but I'm sure they'll get back there, and that's a great addition to their squad. And I'll bet you any money he'll bang the goals in for them.
Absolutely. Another player that was let go earlier on in the season, which was Kane Hemmings. He signed for Barnsley.
Yeah.
Another good addition for Barnsley.
Yep.
One that's going to probably come back to bite us in the arse big style is Neil Alexander signed for Hearts.
I've seen that one as well. Be interesting to see, because did he not leave Rangers because of the wages, or we decided that he was going to be too expensive for us? So I can't see him commanding a big wage at Hearts, considering the financial problems that they're in as well. So that's quite a strange one.
Yep. Obviously Simonson's left the club. That's a decent keeper, you know, certainly, but again, he was probably signed for the wrong reasons, and we had other keepers, younger keepers there who would have been just as good in his position for the amount he played. Crap Barry, he's away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, apparently his contract wasn't renewed. I've not heard anything of the contrary, but I'm pretty sure he's away.
Oh, I've definitely not heard anything like that, because I would have brought that up. So as far as you are concerned, the big crap Barry is now gone.
Yeah, because I don't think he had a contract for this year, did he? This is where I'm thinking he's away.
Derek, I honestly don't know. I've never seen that. I'm actually going to have a quick look at the Rangers page, their official page, to see if he's still classed as a player.
As you do that, I don't know. I don't know how you think you could ever class him as a player, do you?
Definitely no.
No. While you do that, I'll move on with Charlie Telfer. Unfortunately, left. He never got much of a game, but he certainly, when he did, I think he showed a good bit of promise. And the more galling thing is he got signed by Dundee United. You know, they've certainly got a youth system there, and they're obviously using it, and they signed a decent young player. The problem was it was obviously Dundee United, and they have been arguing about their compensation that Rangers are due. They seem to think because Rangers are only a two-year-old club, and that was a quote from Specky Thompson that Rangers are only due a tiny bit of compensation compared with how much they are. So the argument we're obviously making, well, you didn't think that when we still owed you money, and you know that was obviously the old club was wanting giving you the money.
It's getting a bit pathetic now. So I take it, is this going to go to a tribunal or something like that?
God knows. It's just
it really is.
It's 1 minute they come out and say, oh, we should sleeping dogs lie and things like that, but, you know, then they're stirring it up again, so they can go and fuck themselves as far as I'm concerned.
Aye, it's getting tiresome now, big time, and the man's just making an absolute fool of himself yet again. That's pathetic.
Yeah, from Wikipedia, because we all know that's the best place for talking about his time in the first season. His appearances the following season were limited to single figures, and then Krabari left the club upon the expiration of his contract.
Oh, so he has left?
He has left, yes.
All right, fantastic.
Right, so that's good.
Aye, that's good.
Oh, well, that's good, because he would have been on a fair wage, and he was taking up a young player's position.
And he was absolutely dire, let's be perfectly honest.
I think he had one decent game, and that was it. So.
Oh, well, do you think so? Anyway, what game was that?
I think it was towards the end of last year. I think he had a fairly acceptable performance, we'll put it like that.
I can't remember that. And another player, Derek, who has left us, another player who showed a lot of potential a few seasons ago but failed to live up to his reputation, who we have let go, is Ross Perry. Again, a young player that came right up through the youth ranks, a player that we thought was going to be, you know, an outstanding prospect for us, but just, I don't know, just seem to lack confidence, Derek. I don't know if the game that sticks out for him, I think, was his breaking point, was the game at Tynecastle 2 seasons ago in the Cup, where he just had a complete meltdown and he just lost it completely, and he had an absolute shocker. And ever since then, he's just went right down the pecking order, and you know, that's him away.
I don't know about him. He's, as you said, he showed potential at the start, and then he just, you know, total lack of confidence. There was one game where he was just hiding, and I don't know. There was rumours that he feigned an injury to get off the pitch. So
I think it was that game against Dundee United. You know, ever since then, he's been just like completely out of the picture. So maybe a move for him is the best thing, you know, for him to restart his career. I don't know. He certainly did have all the potential, but just didn't work out. It's sad that it's another young player that we've let go, but he really wasn't playing that great for us. So sometimes you've just got to cut your losses.
So the last player that we've got here is Chris Heger. He left by mutual termination or mutual consent, whatever. So again, it's another young player away.
Yeah, did he sign for Linfield? Is that right?
I don't know. I never heard
sure,
that.
I'm sure he's signed for Linfield because there was a picture of, remember, Ivan Sproul that used to play for Hibs. Ivan Sproul, and I'm sure it was Chris Hegarty and another player modelling Linfield's new home strip that I've seen that somebody had put up on Twitter, so I'm sure that's who he signed for.
Yeah. Right, so that kind of covers all the kind of players goings in and out and speculation and things. I've just got a couple of bits about former players here. Obviously, Barry Ferguson, he was down doing the player-manager Blackpool job. It never really went too well for him there. I think that was just, you know, part of circumstance there. But he's now been appointed the new player-manager at Clyde, so he's right on my doorstep.
Oh, so he is, that's right. Aye, because you're only about 3 minutes away from that stadium, Derek.
Pretty much, yes. Aye. So it'll be an interesting time. I mean, apparently he had a lot of deals, had a lot of offers to still play and keep his playing career going, but he decided to choose to be the manager up at Clyde. So certainly a good challenge for him. Clyde are a decent wee team, nice wee stadium as well.
Right.
So
basically starting, you know, a smaller club, always think that's better for a lot of guys than starting with one of the bigger clubs. But no, I think he done all right. It's a Blackpool manager temporarily when he was there last season, and it would give him a good head start for his new job. So I will wish him all the best. He's you know, a bit of a legend for us. He was a fantastic player, and just hope everything goes well for him.
Absolutely. The last one I've got here is Kyle Lafferty. He's effectively been let go by his club Palermo, who he signed for last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any guesses why he's been let go?
Was it drunken behaviour, or did he bloody drive his car through a supermarket window or something like that? It'd be something ridiculous anyway.
Well, yes, that kind of sums the guy up anyway. The club president of Palermo's came out and said he is an out of control womaniser, an Irishman without rules. He is someone who disappears for a week and goes on the hunt for women in Milan. He has 2 families with 6 children. He never trains. He's completely off the rails. On the field, he's a great player because he gave us everything he had and more. In terms of his behaviour, however, he's uncontrollable. My manager told me he cannot sort this player out, so he has to go.
Did you say he's got 6 children to two women? Is that right?
Yeah, he has two families with 6 children, so I don't know how true that is.
Two families?
I think he's the I'm not too sure, you know, before we get any slanderous kind of territory here, but you know, I don't know if that was just, you know, the Italian guy just getting off his heckles as usual, but certainly that's what he said.
Imagine keeping two women going at the same time. My God, it's hard enough keeping one woman happy, never mind two.
Tell me about it.
Because he was going out with former Miss Scotland or something like that.
Well, he was married. He got married about two years ago, aye, so... I don't know if that, as I said, I don't know if that's just, you know, the guy coming up with all the crap. That's what he's giving his reasons, isn't
it? Maybe if that's true about the two women, I actually feel quite sorry for Kyle Lafferty. No, I don't. I don't at all. No for everything, you know, when he walked out in the club, that's I didn't feel sorry for the guy at all. But apparently he signed for Norwich City, is that right?
I couldn't. I think there was rumours. They came out and denied it initially, and then
I'm sure he's definitely signed for Norwich City. So I mean, he's going to be playing at quite a decent standard next season in the Championship in England. So we'll just have to wait and see if he eventually screws the nut and actually concentrates on playing and, you know, stops all the, you know, the idiotic behaviour off the park and, you know, actually starts to become a model professional, but only time will tell on that one, eh?
Anyway, the last one, obviously, with the news about Fernando Rixon's illness, he had a bit of a tribute testimonial / charity match, which was held in May in Holland. Mm-hmm. Great turnout. It was a sellout, apparently. You know, lots of players turned out, like De Boer and Buffel and Novo. All these type of players. There was a big, massive banner which some of the fans had made, which had a picture of Rixon and all these different teams he's played for, tops. It was a good day all round. You know, Nacho Novo, I think, scored, and it was really emotional from the pictures and the stories you've heard. And I think Pamela done a good report on that as well.
Yeah.
So it was good to see, and good to see that he's still keeping himself active and keeping these spirits up anyway.
Definitely, and as you say, a great turnout for a lot of the old sort of legend players that played alongside them, and I think there was the other sort of world class former players that were playing in the other team as well. So, you know, as you say, a fitting tribute match for him, and again, we just keep our fingers crossed that he does stay in good health for as long as possible. I'm sure he'll be back over at some point anyway to catch a match, and all the fans will be able to give him another big round of applause when he's there, just to let him know that we're all thinking about him.
Yep. Just before we quickly move on here, I've got another wee bits of news, bits and pieces. Obviously, our third kit was launched. Really, really nice looking kit. Mm-hmm. It was a red top with a quarter of the Union Jack in a dark colour on. Mm-hmm. Problem is, £45 for a third top.
I know, it's
ridiculous.
Bloody absolutely extortionate, eh? It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know, has there been anything on what the home kit's going to be? I hope it's basically just going to be a blue version of that, because I think they would get quite a lot of people would be buying that one, because it's such a striking third kit. So I really hope that it's just a blue version of that.
Do you know what it reminds me of is the Olympics,
yep.
If I find right, the Olympic top for the British team
last year. That's right, As soon as I seen it, I thought that's, you know, they've obviously had a wee look at that and thought, you know, what would be the best thing. I mean, they're looking for supporters to go out and buy tops, and I think that, you know, a design like that one, it would certainly get all the supporters out there buying it, because I know that I would get it, but as you say, £45 for a top, it's a bit steep, but that's how much all the strips are at the moment. And but again, we spoke about it last season. If they were to keep these tops for two seasons, then, you know, it would be great. But I don't know how long they've got this sponsorship deal with the new sponsor, 32 Red. I don't know if that's just for one season or if it's for two seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money, especially if you've got kids in there wanting to buy them as well, and you're buying a new strip every year, or, you know, and that's three kits every season as well. It's a bit much, eh?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the 32 Red thing, because did we mention that the last time? I can't remember.
Possibly not.
I was a wee bit worried how the 32 Red thing would look in the top, but it's actually no bad.
I know, it looks quite smart. I'm very impressed with the new top so far, and I've seen a few of the pictures from them playing today, the game against Bucky Thistle, and it looks It looks very smart.
Yep. The youngsters, just after the season had finished, the youngsters went away into Hong Kong, had a wee tournament. They had Man City, BC Rangers and a Singaporean side. We finished second in that league. We played the next round against Newcastle and got beat 3-0. But it was a good experience anyway for the youngsters to get some international style football. Yeah, next thing we've got is Ibrox has actually been used for the Commonwealth Games Rugby Sevens in July. So the turf has been relayed apparently and touched up. So the non-rugby, it absolutely rips the pitch up to hell. So it'll be interesting to see what the pitch is like. I hope we get a bit of compensation.
I take it all the guys they're taking all their penalties, you know how they can kick the ball over the bar. I take it they've been bringing Ian Black in to give them some tips on that one.
Definitely. And another thing as well is Ibrox has been used for Scotland's first qualifying match for the Euro 2026 even qualifiers. So I know that the lease for Hampden's up shortly, so maybe this is a sign of the SFA's deciding they're just going to do what kind of Germany and Spain do and not have a national stadium as such and just go around all the stadiums.
Well, I mean, we've all been to Hampden, Derek. It's a bit of a state. I mean, that the main stand, you know, that's a top class facility, but the rest of the stadium is, you know, just absolutely the pits. And you know, if you're within the first sort of five or six rows at Hampden, like I've been before, you can forget it because the view's absolutely terrible. It was done on the cheap, you know, the Rangers end and right the way around, you know, to the Celtic end. It was all done as cheaply as possible. It's not a great stadium at all, and I think for that stadium to survive, they would have to do another complete revamp it, and Scottish football is in the doldrums just now. They don't have the money for it, so as you say, they might be looking just to say, oh well, you know, we'll no renew the lease on Hampden, we'll use it, you know, once or twice a season for, you know, whatever, we'll still use it for big events like concerts and stuff like that, but they might start using stadiums all over Scotland. Because I mean, three huge stadiums in Glasgow, do we really need that? I don't know. It's I know a lot of the people, you know, the romantics for Scottish football would be saying, oh no, you've got to have a Hampden, but in this day and age and the financial problems that we've got in Scottish football, I don't know if it's viable anymore, which I think.
I think the one problem with Hampden is obviously, as you alluded to, is you know, the views you get are pish. I mean, I think there's a couple of things they can do, and it'll be interesting to see. I know that they've raised the actual pitch area for the Commonwealth Games up by a good bit, so you're effectively the front seat's level with the playing area. Another way to combat it is obviously Hampden is built into the ground. Is to make it a wee bit closer, you could, you know, lower the pitch even more, you could fill more seats in it, and that means that you're closer to the actual pitch. I mean, that's one of the good things about Tynecastle, is you're literally on the pitch. You know, so it's like, you know, it gives a good atmosphere that way. So that's what Hampden needs to do. It just feels too open and too big. So as you said, though, there's probably no money to do that kind of thing.
I could just about guarantee that there will not be any money to do it, because the Scottish football is in such a state financially at the moment that it's you know, they'll definitely no any money in the pot for anything like that.
Yep. So we'll move on now, and we will cover the dreaded boardroom action, and we will go into the Blue Room.
Quite simply, we're the only club in the world who could do that. We are the people.
Obviously, a lot and nothing's happened at the same time, to be honest. So I'm going to kind of briefly just cover a few things, rapid fire here. Apparently, recently, King sold his shares in one of his companies, which has gained him a reported $8.5 million. So we'll see if he uses that to put into Rangers. Feeding off that, obviously, Wallace had a Twitter Q&A right at the end of the season. It was, to be honest, quite embarrassing. He dodged the hard questions, answered what he's really said before. You know, that kind of platform is a good idea if all things are rosy and you're not going to get hard questions, but, you know, he just dodged everything. And, you know, I don't know who advised him to do that, but it was certainly a bad idea, given the unhappiness there is now.
Aye, definitely. Maybe just badly advised, as you say.
Absolutely. On the back of that, we've had the boards came out and they've confirmed there's been 17,000 season ticket renewals, which is about half the amount of last year. Possibly it's a case of, you know, there's many of them are going to go game by game. And obviously there's not been any figures released from who have pledged and what the King idea was about having the, not the boycott, but the kind of fund to drip feed the money in. But either way, it's an absolute pish number of renewals. And, you know, I think it's just an indication of how pissed off the fans are about all the board goings on and also the performances on the pitch last year.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that a lot of people did, you know, enough was enough with the board. I get a feeling now, though, with the likes that we've signed, Chris Boyd, I was reading an article in one of the newspapers the other day. They didn't tell us an exact figure, but what they did say was that news that heard from Rangers, what there was a dramatic increase over the last few weeks in season ticket renewals and people buying season tickets, but they didn't say how many, but they said there was a dramatic increase. So it will be interesting to see over the next few weeks if Rangers come out with an actual figure to see how many season tickets have been sold. In one way, it is sad, Derek, considering how well we've supported the club over the last few seasons. But as you say, enough's enough, and a lot of people are totally pissed off and fed up with the way the club's being run. And I still think that we will get, you know, huge crowds every single game that we play. But it might be game to game. It might be people buying their tickets before. I keep saying it, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that there will be possibly an extra 5,000 to 6,000 added on to that. Because I think with the signings, Boyd and stuff like that, there are people like ourselves that are getting genuinely excited about next season and don't want to miss any matches. So we'll just wait to see if Rangers come out with anything.
Yeah, I mean, partially maybe one reason was because it's been so down is that because they fucked up with the credit facility, that season tickets can only be paid in full at the time rather than doing instalments through Rangers or through a third party company Rangers have sourced, who they pay the money to Rangers in full, and then you pay this company in 4 instalments. And I don't know if there's any admin fee for that. I can't see how there can't be, to be honest.
That's right,
So once again, the fan would lose out in that. It's something I've always looked into, and I've said it before. I would certainly look to get a season ticket. Probably not the now, given the stuff that's going on. I've none against people who have renewed, to be honest, but at the same time, it's not something I would do if I was in a position to buy a season ticket. I wouldn't be buying one now.
I'm kind of split, Derek, to be perfectly honest with you. In a way, I want to see the numbers, the season tickets up. I think we all pride ourselves on the fact that we've went out and supported the club, you know, in huge numbers over the last few seasons, and getting constantly told by all the haters out there that wouldn't last, and, you know, we would be back to only having 10,000, you know, every game and all that. And it's quite annoying now to hear people saying, aye, you've only got 17,000 season tickets and that shoe's going to be up the shit again. So it is quite annoying to hear that. But as you say, sometimes you've got to take a stand as well. So like you said, I've got absolutely nothing against anybody that's renewed. That's entirely up to them. I would maybe be the same as you. I think I would be waiting and paying game by game, as I probably will be next season.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and get to a few more games this year, because I think my attendance over the last few years has been pretty bollocks. So I'll certainly try and go as many games as I can, but it's just obviously with work and other commitments as well, it's obviously difficult.
That's so right. I think finally for me, I've got my wee boy daft in football, so that's going to be my major test next year, is to try and get him daft on Rangers. But I'll just have to continue with the brainwashing.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that's what apparently it is, according to some people.
Exactly. It worked for me with my dad. So.
Next thing we've got here is the Union of Fans, just after the season closed, had a meeting with the board. They came out and made a statement saying that the board have agreed in principle to not have a sale and leaseback of Ibrox and could guarantee it for at least a year. And the Union of Fans expected Murray Park to follow suit with that. Pretty much a day or two later, the board released a statement basically denying all claims of this. So, you know, you've got one group saying one thing, you've got the board saying the other thing. So, again, the average Joe fan's left and what the hell's going on?
Exactly, yeah. And so much hype, so much talk, and then back to nothing again. It's a bit of a mess.
next thing we've got here, it's quite a recent thing that's came out, is we've got rumours of Charles Green looking to step back in and take control by buying up shares. My note I've put here is, who knows?
Yeah, I know. He's a man, he likes to come out, he likes the sound of his own voice, Charles. We don't know what to believe anymore. I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, was still waiting in the wings there and he was still ready to jump back in. It's again, a lot of it's newspaper speculation, but it's just strange how he suddenly came back on the scene again and spouting a lot of nonsense as well, and we'll just have to wait and see again. It's a bit speculation, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah. On the back of that, we had the Daily Record apparently had an interview with a guy claiming to be the man solely behind Blue Pitch Holdings.
Yeah.
I read the article. He was a Libyan guy, I think it was. He claims he's nothing but the club at heart. We've already heard that before. And he's claiming that he was the one who personally fired Imran and Green.
Mm-hmm.
and he's spouting a load of shite. He'll put money in, blah, 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 blah. There's a share issue. You know, I don't know what to believe with that, and it's strange that I've not heard a lot else about it. You know, if this was the supposed mystery man, I'm claiming bullshit on this one.
I don't know. He didn't really say too much of what we didn't already know. I mean, we've finally been given a name, is someone, but that could be anything. He could be a front for anybody. You know, he could just be rolled out, and basically, somebody could come to the likes of you, Derek, and say, right, I need you to go to the newspapers and say that you are this man and basically make up as much a credible story just to appease the supporters. And me and you could do that. Me and you could basically come out and say exactly what he said in the newspaper. So it was a wee bit transparent, in my opinion, and he really didn't come away with too much. And there wasn't a lot of probing either, but again, the Daily Record, and you know my feelings on the Daily Record. I really didn't look too much into it, so whether this guy's the real deal or no, I've got no ideas, and I think we're all in the same frame of mind about this guy, if he is or if he's not. I still think he's a front for somebody. I don't know about you, Derek.
Yeah, I think you asked the pertinent thing there. There was not a lot of probing done.
No.
I mean, I don't know if there was certainly an interview with the guy, but they never had the guy who wrote the article coming out and saying, yeah, we've seen documents and can, you know, have proof that this guy is definitely who he says he is, you know. So, you know, you take it with a pinch of salt,
exactly.
Especially coming for the Record.
I know.
We had also in between times, we had a couple of ready to listen things that happened. We had obviously phase two, which was another survey, basically more of the same, basically a wee bit more in depth on fan engagement. And then we had the meetings that apparently happened. That was 4 90-minute sessions of 8 to 10 fans each.
Mm-hmm.
Happened in June. We've still really to hear a lot of the outcome about that, but it was some good communication apparently, and Wallace has came out and said that we're well on our way to getting some sort of official fans board that's going to be the liaison with that. You know, it's all well and good having a fans board, but you know, it's you know, time will tell if they have actual any power at all, any influence over anything that happens in Ibrox, or are they just going to be paying lip service?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've hit the nail right in the head there. It's all well said that they're going to this is going to happen, but unless they've got any actual power and any actual say, then it's a bit of a waste of time. But we'll wait and see what comes out in that one. I think I've said that phrase more in this pod than I have the whole of like last season. We'll just have to wait and see. But that's exactly what it is. No, but you're right, Derek. Unless we've got an actual, you know, voice on the board, you know, and some power, then is it going to mean anything?
Probably not. No, I don't think that's the thing.
Aye.
Two more things here. Thankfully, mm-hmm. What's came out in the last couple of days is it appears that Brian Stockbridge, another bad smell that will not go away, has been given £500,000 worth of shares as basically a golden handshake to as his leaving gift. You know, I thought, you know, this guy had been, you know, given the boot for poor
mm-hmm.
performance,
yep.
But no, he was given shares, he was given bonuses, and he was given a handsome salary. What else is this guy getting?
No bad, eh?
Aye, you know, I think I'm going to just become a financial advisor.
not have any qualifications and just, you know, do what I want.
Exactly, and just get a shitload of cash paid it to you.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
And this one, the last one I've got here, is probably the most interesting one of the lot, and it could be quite good if it comes off, is an old player, mm-hmm. Christian Nerlinger.
Yep, I was wondering when you were going to come up with this one.
Yep, it tipped to become our director of football. The story broke and it's been quiet really ever since. But, you know, he certainly comes with a pedigree. He's a previous sporting director at Bayern Munich, mm-hmm. between 2009 and 2012. So certainly a successful time for them. And it's something that I think we're drastically needed to get some sort of ethos in the club, especially in the playing side of it. So
yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of people again moaning and ranting on Twitter saying, why the hell are we looking at that when we've not got a chief scout, we've not got this, not got that. But the way I see it is, if this was to happen, then this is possibly a part of the plan to get all of that in place. If we did have a sporting director there, he would be the man that would be overseeing scouting systems and bringing new scouts in and, you know, getting them working in various areas. So I'm hoping if that does come about, then that's going to be one of the first things that he would look at, was to get us a proper scouting system again. And here's hoping that that's, you know, the main objective for him coming in. What do you think about that, Derek? Do you think that is potentially what would happen if he was to come in and do that?
I think you make a very valid point there, because as much as we're desperate for a scout, I think if we're going to go down this route of having, you know, a footballing ethos where we play a particular way, we sign particular players, you need to have someone who is in place that's going to oversee and govern that. So there's no point in getting random general scouts in. So they're maybe well suited to scouting, you know, say 30-year-old players. That's maybe their forte. Whereas you need...
Would you mean like Ali McCoist?
Well, aye, basically. Whereas we've gone to a style of play where we get the youngsters in from homegrown areas, then that means somebody can oversee that, and then we can try and get the scouts in that are specialised to that area. So certainly what you're saying there makes a lot of sense. It just needs to happen. Well, it needed to happen 2 years ago, but it needs to happen like pronto if it's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that that is going to be one of the main things that happens if he does come in. But again, it's speculation. I think he's held talks with the board and things like that. We'll just have to wait and see if that comes to fruition, or if there's anybody else that they've got in mind that would do a similar role. But he does have the pedigree anyway.
Right, so as always, we're going to be coming back to the boardroom time and time again. I think we'll be doing the boardroom stuff all our life by the sound of it here, because it's never ending, and it'll be just great to finally get away from it, but we'll see what happens anyway.
Yes.
Yep. So we're going to move on now, and we are going to go to the classic match.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Right, Dave, you've got a bit of a special cup final for us this episode, haven't you?
I think we're going to dedicate the pod this week to Chris Boyd, and we're going to look at a classic cup final where Chris Boyd basically came off the bench and scored the vital goals to win the cup for us, and that is the CIS League Cup final of 2008. So we're only going back 6 years ago. I was again lucky enough to beat Hampden that day. 2008 was a huge season for us, because that was when potentially we were on for the quadruple that season. The squad was stretched to the limit, as we've spoke about before, and this was basically going to be the first trophy of the quadruple, or what we thought was going to be the quadruple. And I remember being there desperate for us to win it, just to get that first trophy out of the way, so that we could, you know, go on and start concentrating on the league and in Europe, and then on the Scottish Cup. So Walter Smith in charge that day put up a very, very defensive lineup for the first 11. He started with Alan McGregor, Kirk Broadfoot, Carlos Queller, David Weir, Sasa Papach, Hemdani, Christian Daly, Chris Burke, Barry Ferguson, Steve Davis, and Lee McCulloch as their lone striker up front. So it was basically, I don't know if it was a 4-1-4-1 formation or if it was a 5-4-1 formation, but it was a very, very defensive team that he put out. But On the bench that day, he did have Chris Boyd, Darcheville, Stephen Whittaker, Alexander and Kevin Thompson. So he did have a couple of strikers there to bring on, and thank God he did that day. But it basically started the first 10 minutes of the match, there wasn't much happening whatsoever. But then on the 18th minute, the Dundee United goalkeeper Zaluska had a fantastic save for Barry Ferguson. It was a cross that was put in, it was Lee McCulloch that dummied it. It came to Barry Ferguson. He had an absolutely cracking drive. It was saved by the goalkeeper. We were putting a lot of crosses into the box, but Dundee United had big Gary Kenneth in there, and he was sort of mopping that up constantly. Nothing was coming off for us at all, as I say. Maybe that was because of our sort of defensive team that we put out. And then on the 33rd minute, Dundee United scored.
Plays it infield, DeVries to the fight. Nolan with the opportunity, Nolan! And where's the ball gone? Nolan squeezed it in! It wasn't kept out on the post, the cartwheel, the backflip, and the goal for Dundee United. All for Noel Hunt,
it was quite a poor, if you consider not all the defenders that we had playing. It was a long ball and it basically wasn't cleared. It bobbled about. Alan McGregor saved it, but it put back in. The ball was chipped back in to Noel Hunt and he put it past Alan McGregor. So it was 1-0 Dundee United at half time. I still felt quite positive at half time. Walter Smith brought on Jean-Claude Darcheville for him, Danny, to give us another striker up front. Into the second half, a bit of a controversial moment.
Breakout wide for Calvinus, he got the touch. Cuellar was taking a chance! And Cuellar and Calvinus, he dumped him to the ground and referee said no penalty!
Carlos Cuellar possibly could have gave away for Rangers, but thankfully for us the referee didn't see that. Dundee United were pressuring us, but then Chris Boyd came on in the 61st minute for Sasa Papach, and then after that it was basically constant Rangers pressure. There was a long ball, played to Jean-Claude Darcheville, who ran down the left wing, got past a couple of players and had a fantastic shot that was saved. And then on the 85th minute, thankfully, we managed to get back into the game because Rangers scored.
It has to be all or nothing now for Rangers. McCulloch back leg for it, he'll go up for it again. Lee McCulloch brings it down. Lee McCulloch for Rangers. Kovacevic right down beside him. And Kerr now turns, plays it back. What was Kerr doing? And Chris Boyd scores for the 60th time against Dundee United. And Mark Kerr, who's been sparkling, has given it away. And Chris Boyd hands Rangers a League Cup lifeline.
Rangers were piling on the pressure. Dundee United managed to clear the ball out. They passed it to Kerr, but for some strange reason he decided to pass it back to his goalkeeper, not knowing that Chris Boyd was there in his usual position. He picked up the back, the slack ball, back pass, fired it in to give us all hope and send it into extra time. So it was 1-1. I myself thought, right, this is our big chance here. We've got back into the game. Boyd was looking hungry. So into the first period, extra time. Unfortunately for us, Mark DeVries sort of beat Kirk Broadfoot all ends up and fired the ball in on the 96th minute into extra time. We were all absolutely gutted. It went into the second half. Rangers absolutely pummeled Dundee United in the whole of that second period. Absolutely pummeled them. And then again on the 113th minute.
And wants the ball into the box. Darcheville gets the touch on. It's missed in the back post. The goalkeeper's got there. What a touch that was. It's on to Davis. He clips it back in. Boyd is almost there. And he is! Chris Boyd, the goal machine for Rangers, brings them level for the second time in the match.
The ball was played in. The goalkeeper saved it from Dundee United. It fell back to Steve Davis on the byline, who managed to turn round and curl the ball back over to the back post, and Boyd was in there to header it and bundle it over at the back post. Thank God. We were all going daft. It was going into penalties. I felt supremely confident. I don't know if you can remember us when we went into penalties. I know how you felt, Derek, but I was certainly confident that we were going to do it.
I don't think I actually watched the game, to be honest. I've got a feeling that I was working that day, so I never watched the game.
Well, it went into penalties. Willow Flood was the first person to step up. Now, he actually got man of the match that game. He had one of the best games that he's ever played in his career. And in that match, Willow Flood stepped up, scored it. Then it was down to Jean-Claude Dashville.
Jean-Claude Dashville looking into a sea of tangerine. Dashville knocks him off the bar! It didn't cross the line! The goalkeeper dived the wrong way. It is advantage, Dundee United.
He stepped up, battered the ball, but it came crashing off the crossbar. They were like, oh no, there's the first one doing it. But then Conway stepped up for Dundee United and hit the post with his.
So now the opportunity for Dundee United to take the lead. Oh, that's in the red line for Conway. Chance to increase the lead. And he hits the post with McGregor going the right way.
Stephen Whittaker, who had came on as a substitute with only like 4 minutes to go, took a penalty, which was incredible considering that he'd hardly played anything in the game. But he came on, he scored his penalty, no problem. Mark De Vries, who had scored the goal earlier on, he stepped up to take his penalty, scored. Steve Davis, as cool as you like, rolled the ball into the back of the net to score his goal. That made it 2-2. And then Robertson stepped up.
Robertson on as a sub and started the last two. Steps back, goes for it. Oh, McGregor makes the save. Timing tees right. McGregor turns it away. Advantage Rangers.
Alan McGregor pulled off a fantastic save. So that put Rangers in the driving seat. But unfortunately, Lee McCulloch stepped up. And again, Dundee United keeper saved his. So it was all at level again. Lee Wilkie stepped up. And there was McGregor, the save. And then that left it to the man, Chris Boyd, who, you know, had scored twice already for us.
Chris Boyd for the CIS Insurance Cup up against Yaluska. Boyd hits it straight down the middle and Rangers win! And Chris Boyd, the hero in 90 minutes, the hero in 120 minutes, and the hero in the penalty shootout.
Chris Boyd, you just knew he was going to score it. You knew that he was going to win it for us. Supremely confident, steps up, blasts the ball past the goalkeeper, wins us the cup. And it was just a feeling of total relief, Derek. Like I said at the start of the game, we all knew that we were going to be up for this quadruple, and that was the first step to the quadruple. Absolutely delighted. It was a great day. It was a fantastic cup final. It had it all. There was some cracking, meaty tackles in there. There was plenty of goals and a penalty shootout, and then Rangers won at the end.
And the CIS Insurance Cup goes to Rangers. They have won it in 2008.
A great cup final. That is our cup. We've said it before. We know the League Cup has been Rangers Cup because we've won it that many times. And here's hoping we'll be lifting it again very soon.
Absolutely, yes. As I said, I don't remember watching that game because I've got a feeling I was at work that day. But I've seen highlights and bits and pieces from it. And from what I can remember, is Dundee United were the better team throughout the game. And I think they felt quite aggrieved over it.
Like I said, Smith put a really, really defensive team that day. I mean, potentially we had like four centre-halves all playing and, you know, two defensive midfielders and then Lee McCulloch playing up front on his own. So a very, very defensive team, but it just shows you somebody with the class of Chris Boyd could come in and he'll sniff out a goal for you regardless who you're playing, and he certainly saved us that day, scoring two goals and then the step him up for the winning penalty. A wee bit of arrogance for him as well. That's, you know, what we liked about Boyd. He could sniff out a goal, and again, we spoke about it earlier on, I've got no doubt that he's going to score a barrel load for us in his second period back with us. So no, it was a great day. I was, again, lucky enough to be there and another bit of silverware in the cabinet for us. So fantastic memories. I hope everybody looks back on that one as well and is looking forward to Boyd hopefully doing the same for us like he did that day.
Right, so that's another classic match for another episode. We are now going to go into What a Player.
Brian, I mean, everybody wants to know, how come you are so good?
As Dave said, it's a bit of a Chris Boyd tribute. You would think he's dead or something, but thankfully he's not.
No.
He's still with us and he's just signed for us. So we're wanting to cover Chris Boyd in today's What a Player.
Yep.
So Chris Boyd, born, Chris with a K by the way, strange spelling.
Yeah.
Born on the 18th of August 1983, born in Irvine in Scotland. and he's aged 30 just now, so he's still got a good few playing years left, yep. like what we said. He actually, you know, had a few trials for Rangers in his early days, but he did sign for Kilmarnock in the 2000 season. He then left Kilmarnock after a fantastic record there, and he signed for us, and that was when he's obviously his first spell, and he went on to, you know, play 192 times for us, scoring 128 times. What a bloody record that is.
That's a phenomenal, phenomenal goal scoring record, and it became, was it the post-war, it was the Scottish Premier League's all-time top goal scorer at that point, is that right? It was some sort of record that he broke, remember, against Dundee United.
Aye, I think he broke Larson's record, I think, because I think he was the top SPL scorer at the time, so he certainly broke that, scored 128 goals, 102 of them were in the league. Absolutely phenomenal record. He left, I think it was of his own doing. I think there was no fee for him, or I think it was a nominal fee. Mm-hmm. He wanted to leave a year before his contract finished, or half a year, and he wanted to go down south, and he went to Middlesbrough, and he never really had a great time there. He went on loan to Notts Forest after that, and he had 10 appearances and 6 goals, so he certainly, you know, done something there.
Yeah, the first time, as we've spoke, I've been to a few Forest games, and he was actually there when I went down the first time, and he had scored, you know, quite a few goals, and he was a lot of the supporters were quite impressed with him, and they were hoping that he was going to stay, but that didn't materialise for him after that. And then I think he got his own personal big money move to Turkey after that, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Some club called Eyskespor.
Yeah, well done.
I think that's. I could have said anything there, and you would have said, well,
I was just going to say the Turkish club, but never mind.
Well, apparently, only played 2 games in the league and never scored any goals. He had a bit of a torrid time there, I think. So
we got paid a shitload of money to go.
Well, certainly, if, you know, that's what floats people's boats.
Exactly.
Anyway, after the bad time there, he did. He went on to Portland Timbers and played in the MLS. So he done, you know, not bad there, 26 league appearances, 7 goals, and then he came back to Kilmarnock later on, and I think, did he only play something like half a season last year?
That's right, yeah.
Is that right? And he scored 25
that's
goals.
Right. I think
absolutely incredible.
43 appearances I've got, maybe that's wrong, but 43 appearances, 25 goals, that is an absolutely incredible record, considering, like we said, playing for Kilmarnock, who finished with the like third or fourth bottom of the league. So it's not as if he was playing for a team that was flying high at the top of the league and creating loads and loads of chances. So he's obviously came back a better player, maybe a wiser player than when he left us, you know. And he also played for Scotland. Is it 7 goals in 18 appearances I've got here for him, is that right?
I think so. Give me 2 seconds, I'll have a look.
So 7 international goals and 18 appearances is a good record as well. But you know, I'm as I say, we spoke about it, I'm delighted that he signed for us. I don't care what anybody said. If he'd signed for any other club in Scotland in the Premier League, it would have been seen as a dream signing. So I'm really delighted that he signed for us, and he's just a goal machine, and I've got no doubt that he's going to bang the goals in for us next season.
Yep. I mean, I think one of the things that annoyed me about him, or rather about fans' attitudes towards him, is they claimed he was a lazy player. And yeah, he was never going to be this sort of kind of up and down player doing everything, but he certainly did have a good bit of that, you know, in his bag if he wanted to. He was maybe a wee bit lazy at times, certainly. But that's one thing you look at. He got absolute pelters for it, for being that type of player. Yet John Daly banged in the goals at the start. He was pretty much lazy the full time, and then he stopped doing anything, and he wasn't scoring, and he wasn't getting the same abuse Boyd was getting.
I think you'll find it'll be different the second time round, Derek. I don't think there'll be as many players giving him stick like they did before. It's a different ball game, a different league that we're in now, and I think Boyd will be treated like, you know, the star player, you know, since he's came back to us. I certainly hope so. And here's hoping his confidence is sky high for us next season as well.
Yeah, just quickly, the last wee bit I want to go on about him is his honours. He's won 2 SPL leagues in the 08-09 season and the 09-10 season, two Scottish Cups in the 07-08 season and the 08-09 season. He's won two Scottish League Cups in the 07-08 and the 09-10 season, UEFA Cup runner-up, and in individual honours, he's had four SPL top league scorers. He's won the SPFA Players Player of the Year. He was nominated for that in 2010. And he's been the Player of the Month three times, so certainly a decent kind of medal haul as well.
Fantastic, I mean, that's excellent, and you know, to top that off with the amount of goals that he's actually scored, that is excellent. Top player, and still, you know, 30-year-old, so still at least 4 or 5 years at top level left for him. So you know, excellent and a great signing. I don't care what anybody says.
Yep. Brilliant. So certainly I can't wait to see him as well, so we'll be good, and I'm pretty sure that if he, once we get back to the top league as well, he'll hopefully still sign another extension and we'll take him from
there. Yep, definitely.
Yep. So that about wraps it up for this rather extended edition of the iReady podcast here. We will be back sooner rather than later, I hope. Obviously we just had that delay with the off season there. We've got some, you know, work to do on the website. I've tried to update some of that. I've got the fixtures up there, I've got the new league tables and the old league table up there. Going to be trying to update the website a wee bit more regularly. You can find us, that's on iReadyPod.com. Obviously we're on iReadyPod on Facebook as well as Twitter as well, and our email address, as I said, I say it every time, can't remember it, so it's somewhere you can get it.
If anybody out there fancies contributing anything to the website at all, you just have to send the stuff in to us via email, and we'll have a wee look at it, and we think it's suitable and up to Derek's high standard, then we'll certainly put it on there.
What do you mean, a high standard?
I'm trying to big you up here.
Obviously as well, we've got other people as well. I just want to give a quick shout out to we welcome the Chase podcast. We welcome the Chase podcast. Oh my god, I was in knots the other day, and another time I nearly crashed the car. See, when they were doing impressions of the teams they picked out for the World Cup. Oh,
I know, it's absolutely, the guys are absolutely nuts. It's hilarious. I was the same. You really shouldn't listen to them when you're driving your car, because you will end up crashing into something. They're absolutely mental.
Basbowski, you're brilliant. another wee shout out as well is to the Rangers Report website. I know they're trying to get their own wee podcast sorted as well. Apologies to them as well. I've been really lax about getting back to you an email, so I'll send you an email shortly. And thanks for thinking about us as well. So check them out when you get. It's a fantastic website. They've got some great contributors in there as well who talk a lot of sense, apart from us, obviously.
Exactly.
We've still to do the wee article thing that we're going to do for them as well, so we'll try and get that sorted. As you can obviously see from the updates on the website over the last couple of months, we've not been in a position to do much, too much gallivanting about these days.
Exactly. Folk getting married and things like that, eh? So.
Aye. So all that's left to say is thanks very much for listening, keep in touch, and good night.
Yes, goodbye all, and we will be back soon.
Bye.
Cheers.
Thanks very much for listening. Take care, and I was going to say God bless again there, but no. fuck.
you're determined to upset quite a few folk there, Derek.
Aye. Yes. I'll start again.
No, I think that's it, mate. I'm tired and I'm ready to go to my bed.